Well, great news. It's the Easter special. That's the good news. But as is always the case, there's good news and bad news.
Mm.
The bad news is Nick is not at all well.
Mm.
This is going to be a much shorter episode. Maybe that is good news. I mean, not that you're ill, but that the episode is going to be a lot shorter. A little Easter blessing for listeners.
You know, every cloud has a silver lining, doesn't it, really?
Exactly.
It's an ill wind. And the wind in question is me at the moment. I am the ill wind. Welcome, everybody, to episode... Listen, I have no idea, because I haven't even opened the running order. What episode is it?
It's 326.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right. The Easter special. It's the high-energy Easter special.
Welcome to episode 326 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name's Nick Page. There's Joe Davis.
Great. Thank you. That could only have been lower energy if you had, in fact, actually died.
I may do that imminently during this recording.
I'm sorry, mate. Listen, how are you?
I'm pretty lousy, actually. Yeah, so I've had the flu for about a week. You know, started to get it last week, and it just keeps coming back. And so seriously, listeners, we didn't want to do nothing, but this will be only marginally more than nothing, just because it's Easter. So you know, you can, how I am, I'm not very well at all, and of course that means I actually haven't done anything, so I've got nothing to report, nothing to say. I've basically watched all of YouTube. That's what I've watched. And I've done nothing in a week.
Mate, I'm sorry, because if you were slightly less unwell, I would feel free to take the mickey mercilessly out of you. But actually, you've been off work and you've been in bed and you're having to silence all your coughing. So,
yes. So anyway, I'm going to hand over to you.
Yeah.
This is your moment, okay. Pastor, to give us your Easter message. But firstly, I want to find out how you are, because I know you've seen the little one.
You know I'm irritatingly happy, more so than normal, because I saw my grandson, Quinn. He is gorgeous. Enough said. Bluebells are out. That's incredible. Love bluebells. And doing an Easter thing on the beach. I've got to say, I blooming love this group of people who I'm hanging out with now. I dare not call it church. But they just sort of text, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do that. So someone's brought a guitar. They're going to perform a song. Someone's written a poem specially for us. Someone else is going to do a little meditation with stones, and I'm going to do a little talk. So
that sounds great. Listen, I because I was ill last week, I didn't actually. I should have been clearer in my descriptions of what Easter was like for the early church, because it would have thrilled you.
Yes,
Their celebration was a fast, a vigil, and then what someone called a liturgical breakfast.
Well, there you go.
You know, the agape meal was actually at the other end. It was at breakfast. So I was thinking, if anyone I know wants to have a liturgical breakfast, it's going to be you.
Me. And may I say, I'm being more in keeping with the early church than you are. Thank you.
Absolutely are. Yeah. So that's great.
So listen, I don't suppose anyone's around, but if you are, we're going to meet at 8 o'clock in front of Sea Lane Cafe in Worthing on Easter Sunday morning. You're all welcome. And we're going to finish with breakfast at Sea Lane Cafe, of course. I mean, because that's the only correct liturgical thing to do.
Absolutely. What a blessed thing.
That's great. Oh, mate, you do look rough. I'm so glad people can't see you.
I got nothing more. I'm handing over to you then.
I'm generally glad that people can't see you, but I'm especially grateful. Sorry. Listeners may remember, I'm just going to do one bit of feedback while you quietly suffer. You may remember last week we said we'd go away and do a bit of research, because Jeff wrote in saying, I heard once that Orthodox theology says that we are atoned by Jesus' incarnation rather than the death or resurrection. Could there be an episode exploring this? I don't know whether there's going to be an episode, Jeff, but what this gave me the opportunity was go to my beloved Richard Rohr books and get some quotes. So I'm going to give you three quotes from Rohr and why he would say is we're atoned by Jesus' incarnation rather than his death or resurrection. And I love all of these quotes, of course. So this is great. Nick's not even going to come in with what, not one, but three quotes. He's that poorly, everyone. Yeah. So the first one is this from the Universal Christ, by the way. So Jesus did not come to change the mind of God about humanity. It did not need changing. Jesus came to change the mind of humanity about God. So I'm loving that. Second one for you all to ponder on over Easter is the incarnation was not a divine rescue operation from outside the universe. It was an infusion of holiness into the world from within. That's from his book, Eager to Love. And look, this is also from there. And this is just great. He says, Franciscan alternative orthodoxy believes that the problem is not that we are unworthy or unlovable, but that we don't know how loved and worthy we are. That's what Jesus came to reveal. I mean, you know, there's episodes in each one of these quotes that could be discussed, but not today. Needless to say, what he's getting at is that Jesus' death isn't so much about appeasing an angry God, which we've talked about endlessly on this podcast, but it's about revealing the depth of divine love, even in the face of suffering and injustice. So in summary, incarnation is God's yes to the world, showing that matter and spirit belong together, they're not opposed. Jesus' life reveals how to live in union with God. His death is a demonstration of radical love and forgiveness, not a payment or an appeasement. And the resurrection is, in fact, the vindication of this love, not a transactional end to sin. And that is certainly how I'm starting to see things nowadays. Not that I necessarily believe everything Richard Rohr writes, but I certainly believe all of those. I'm not going to turn to you for comment, but, you know, that's a bit of research there.
Well, that's great. I'm sorry, I haven't had any time to, or I have had lots of time. I haven't had any brain to research it. I would say that the whole incarnation bit that we talked about, I mean, it's not a zero-sum game, is it? You can't have death and resurrection unless you've got something to die and resurrect. Mm. So, of course, you've got to have incarnation. Mm. Which bit saved us? I don't know. I think the life of Jesus saves us, both the life before and after death.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where I am.
Well, thank you for that nasal input.
Thank you. I have literally nothing else to say. This is the most downbeat. Carry on.
Well,
really,
in this brilliant outline that I did for today's podcast that you haven't even bothered looking at, it was going to be, Nick, why is Easter important to you? And you would have listed a list of reasons why you still think the season is relevant, why it matters to you, not what should it mean to you, but what does it actually mean to you? And I would have gone, Nick, that's incredible. Thank you for all those historical details you put into your input there. And then you'd have said to me,
Joe, why? I'm going to blow my nose, but why is Easter important to you?
I've got lots to say. You'll never guess. There's so much to say about death and resurrection, but I think we laboured that quite a lot last year about it being the pattern of the universe. And there's so much in the narratives. I started reading your little list that you did, reading the last week in order. I must admit I failed a bit the last few days, but, you know, I got the Jesus in the temple overturning the tables and doing all that stuff. And again, it's sort of, there's something in this whole narrative about the nature of true power, isn't there? This servant leader, this anger at injustice, there's loads there. And just sort of reading through those stories does make you realise, actually, this has got a lot to say to modern life as we are experiencing it and living it today. And I think that's always encouraging when you read the Bible and go, oh, actually, this is really good. And this is really important and still really powerful, because the danger is you just go to the Book of Numbers and go, not really sure why this is the word of God. Anyway, I would like to use as my text today the Blessed John O'Donoghue.
Of course.
Of course. Oh, anyone can go to Luke or John's Gospel. Come on. And he says, well, one of the greatest sins is the unlived life. So I just thought I'd just riff on that for a couple of minutes for our dear listeners. No more than that, because why would we inflict it on them? But John O'Donoghue talks about this in his book Annam Cara, and he says we're taught many things about the nature of negativity and the nature of sin, but we're never told that one of the greatest sins is the unlived life. We're sent into the world to live to the full everything that awakens within us and everything that comes towards us. And I just, that really struck me. Last week you talked about the Easter narrative being important because it's a question of our identity, which I agree with. But I think the Christmas story of incarnation is also critically important for our identity. God has emptied themselves to become a human being. So there's something so wonderful about the nature of who we are as human beings. You know, as John Philip Neale said, you know, that which is deepest within us is actually of God. And I love that. And for me, what Easter does is it talks about the nature of reality as we actually experience it. So in simplistic terms, you know, here's Christmas giving us an identity of who we really are, human, but also deeply divine. And here we've got Easter saying, and here's the real nature of reality as you experience it, namely the suffering we see going on around Good Friday, the absolute bewilderment of Easter Saturday, and the joy of Resurrection Sunday. And of course, significantly, the last word being joy. But strangely, I think, you know, if to break down Easter into three things, suffering, bewilderment and joy, I think that what I've started to realise is I avoid all three of those things in a weird way. Right. I mean, you know, for a start, obviously suffering, I've spent most of my life trying to avoid. As an Enneagram 7, that's kind of what you do. And what you do is you distract yourself with laughter and fun and curries and beers and lots of friends and gatherings and doing, you know, anything so you don't have to actually face and live through suffering. Bewilderment is the mid-faith crisis. It's hard. It's hard when you everything you thought you knew starts to break down and not make sense. It's even harder if you're excluded from the community of people who love you because now they don't understand you. They thought you all believed the same way. And you thought God was going to do so much for you. On Sunday, I'm going to talk about those great words from the disciples on the road to Emmaus, you know, that they said, we had hoped. I mean, there's so much in those three words. We had hoped. I had hoped following Jesus was going to be a ticket to absolute joy and celebration all my life. I had hoped the Messiah was going to do so much for me. Possibly, you know, and there's all kinds of things that we perhaps thought our faith would give us. So there's actually a nagging bewilderment, which if you stay with it is very unsettling. And then the strange thing about joy and why I say, I think actually reading Meditations for Mortals has helped me realise in a strange way, through my desire to cling to it, to seek it out and hold on to it once I found it, in a bizarre way, I end up not even experiencing it because I'm too busy thinking about how can I hang on to this and cling to it. And I think what I'm starting to see, and just what's important for me this year, this is what's been rattling around my head, is there's fullness of life in the Jesus way. There is fullness of life. And you enter into the reality of life. It's not as scary as you think it is. What Jesus challenges me with this Easter is to live all of life. Don't be afraid of the suffering bit. You know, experience it, go into it. It won't be as scary as you think. Don't worry about the answers you don't have anymore. It's going to be okay. And as for the joy thing, well, life is punctuated with joy. Like I said, bluebells this week, stuff that's going on in my garden, my grandson, the friends that I have, you know, the taste of, you know, beautiful red wine, you know, whatever. There's constantly joy around. Notice it. You know, live it, experience it. do it. And I think, you know, I was reflecting on my life, just, you know, leaving the church and everything. And I felt I related to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, because I now look back and go, ah, Jesus is with me all the time. Or perhaps I would say the risen Christ was with me all the time, all the time. And in a strange way, I used to hate that phrase. I still do hate this phrase. You know, just ask Jesus into your heart. There's something so trite and awful about that. But in a bizarre way, I'm giving that little phrase the second naivety treatment. I genuinely think Jesus is in my heart, the way my mum is still in my heart, the way my brother is still in my heart. And actually, I carry all my friends. I carry my little grandson in my heart now. You know, that is all going on. So Christ is with you. There can be unbearable suffering, and I really understand it is unbearable. We've got a friend at the moment who's, you know, walking through terminal cancer. Life is hard, but the last word is resurrection. And even on that journey, there's pockets of joy to be had. So I just want to encourage the good people of this podcast, you know, experience everything that's going on. Don't worry if you're not being religious enough. Don't feel guilty about it. Whatever it is you are doing, live fully in it and be as Christ-like as you can in every situation you find yourself in. Over the Easter, there's a good chance you'll be visiting family or seeing friends or getting together. Live it and enjoy it. Maybe you're doing dull, mundane jobs. Live them. Live them fully. Experience it every moment of this life. Life in all its fullness was the offer of Jesus. It might not mean what we had hoped it would mean, like a life without suffering. It certainly doesn't mean that. But Jesus is promising to be with us in all of it. And the last word always is joy.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I feel I need that call to life at the moment. That's lovely.
Oh, are you going to do the thanks? Are you well enough to do thanks?
I am, because I am very thankful. Listen, thank you everyone for listening. I apologise for the brevity of this episode. But there was great stuff there from whoever that was. I can't remember his name. he comes up every week. No idea who he is. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast. That's absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
Thank you to those who recommend it to others, whether as a gift of love or as a sort of practical joke. We don't care. We'll be back with you next week. Maybe next week I'll be in a position to give some actual thoughts on Easter, looking back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joe Davis, and I want to apologise. It's been mostly me this week, because we love you, Nick, and we want you to get well.
Thank you very much.
And just to say, if you've been wondering whether to give a little Easter egg to Nick or I, you can do so on our website. That'd be great. But I'd like to finish with a blessing for you all, and perhaps especially for Nick. Friends, this Easter, may light find you, even if you can't see it yet. May hope whisper your name gently, without demand. For those who struggle, may you know that being here is enough. And for those unsure about resurrection, may you be surprised by small resurrections, a smile, a breath, a kindness, rising quietly in the cracks of your doubt. You are not alone. Peace be with you.